Bam, there it is. What's good? What's good? Everybody, welcome. Thank you guys for joining tonight. Shane, thank you, sir, for showing up. I appreciate it.
Hey, that's what I do. I show up, man. I'm good at that.
You are the best at that. Always. Thanks, everybody else, for showing up. I know tonight happens to be the mega live stream event of the year. There's like 20 channels going on. So if we're one of 20 browsers that you guys have open, we truly appreciate you all out there. And if I'm not on mute right now, go ahead and leave us a thumbs up, and we're going to get the show rocking.
Yeah, man, the stars aligned. You know, we kind of talked about it like before we actually started doing the show, like, oh, yeah, certain ones will line up and we'll have overlap. And man, they just everything lined up. So
tonight they did.
And podcasters are having other podcasters on their show. So it's right. Like double.
There's shows inside of shows about shows.
Yeah.
Oh, man, totally. So we appreciate everybody. Herbert, thank you for showing up. Greenline, I see you out there. Catalina, Zivs, we appreciate you all. And some guy named Small Town. Appreciate him too.
Yeah. Oh,
Jacob, what's good, my friend? All right. Well, as the show's title, Reptiles Unplugged, we're unfiltered. We're not sponsored by anybody, so Shane and I can get in here, cause as much trouble as we want. So we appreciate everybody showing up and supporting our show tonight. And for tonight's show with him and I, we just kind of are going to recap last week, talk about some cool stuff. We had an awesome guest, like one of the OGs, the legends in the industry on for our very first one. So he was great. I was a little injured and off my game, and without Shane and him kind of pulling through to make a good show, it's worth a watch. If you didn't get to see it, go check it out.
Yeah, definitely. And, something I always like about talking to Mark is like, if you ask him a question, you get the whole philosophy behind why his answer is the way it is. And I really enjoy that explanation. I'm at that, turning point in my life where I'm, you know, a little bit more philosophical and I enjoy talking. Yes. What's the meaning of life? You know, all that stuff. Talking to Mark is always very refreshing for me. So I was glad we got to have a conversation on the air with him.
I completely agree, man. Every podcast that I've listened to him, he's inspired me in like some little way. And it's due to that, kind of how he talks about things in a very like, inspirational way. I actually ordered some stuff for my backdrop because him and, you know, we all three of us were talking off stage and Shane and him have really awesome studios and mine was some snakes. I upgraded a little just to this backdrop tonight. Then we got some other stuff coming in the future. So that's why I love talking with Mark, right? Little inspiration like that kicked me in gear to kind of make myself better. So,
yeah. And we touched on it on the show too. Me meeting Mark at a show with his setup inspired me to change my entire show setup. Like I revamped the whole thing. The only thing I kept original was the displays. Everything else is brand new, you know?
Dude. So that's what it's about. Personally, those are the aspects that I love about this hobby. You know, this community is like little things like that. We pick up from each other. We try and get better. And it just, I don't know, man, it's awesome. I love it.
So yeah, I like meeting people that you can emulate with pride, you know, like Mark's definitely an inspiration for me on different levels as, you know, reptiles and just in life in general. So Mark, if you ever watch this, man, thank you for coming on.
Yes. Thank you, sir. Do truly, truly appreciate that. And once our machine is a little more well-oiled, I think we have him on again. And I'd love to like deep dive with him into, you know, something specific instead of having like a broad topic. Let's like hit him on a specific because I love how he zeroes in on stuff as well. So,
yeah, I agree.
Yeah definitely.
Well, let me segue into a little shout out. So Mark was also on Morph Map the Sunday after he was on our show. And that's our shout out of the week is Morph Map. Tommy Gill and Brian do a great job on the Herp Collectors Network. They really deep dive into a specific morph. And Tommy does an excellent job, like researching everything and like getting down to the bottom and, you know, like bringing up picture examples and comparisons. And, you know, this one's got an extra loop here and this one doesn't. Like she really hones down into the nitty gritty of it. So good job out there, Tommy and Brian. Great show. I watch it.
Me too, actually. Yeah, that's, you know, there's not enough time in the day. I'm always saying that. But while I'm cleaning, I do put on some shows and stuff, and theirs is one of them. So I love listening to how they break it down, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, definitely a good one. If you guys should go check that out. There's lots of good shows out there. You know, that's one thing coming back to this and seeing kind of the landscape out there. It was kind of one of the funny things that I thought to myself, because when I left, there were quite a few podcasts. And then when I came back, still quite a few podcasts, just some different ones.
But so, I would venture to say there is more right now currently than probably ever.
I would agree with you. Yes. Yeah, definitely. Because there's always new ones I'm finding out about. So, you know, if anybody has anything that they like, dude, shoot me a message. Let me know what you guys are listening to, because I'm always looking for good content to put on while I'm cleaning snake poop. So,
yeah, it kind of reminds me of I'm dating myself, but you know, like way back, we only had a couple channels. And then as time progressed, like now, if you got like The Dish or something like that, you got like hundreds and hundreds of channels. And that's like where we're getting at in the reptile industry. You know, it's like, man, there's something going on at any given time. If not, the replay is always available too. So, I mean, there's no shortage of content to choose content from.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the idea, I guess, right there. Who do we talk to over in Dish Network to start our own channel with all of the reptile stuff on it?
just like a streaming service like Reptile Flicks or something, you know? Just so,
dude, that'd be sick. There you go. All right. By the way, we've already copyrighted that, spoken to our lawyers, so no ideas out there.
Robbie. Oh, you know what? And man, I want to give a shout out, and I know I'm going to forget some, but I don't know if Adam's gotten any messages, but I've gotten messages from like Robbie, from Arjun, Dorian, man, William Philippek, Jeremy Bod, like all these people that used to watch Reptiles Unplugged, and they messaged me saying like, you know, thanks for being a part of bringing it back and everything. So I wanted to convey that to Adam while we're on the air and give these guys shout outs too.
Dude, cool, man. No, nobody talks to me, brother. No, I'm joking. I'm joking. But you know, I have those messages of I take them as encouragement. So thank you guys so much. It kind of helps keep me going and, you know, wanting to strive to be better for y'all that are watching. So definitely appreciate that and appreciate everybody's patience while Shade and I are getting our show going. You know, we figured out how to do the rectangle boxes just recently, so that's an improvement. I don't, you know, small one, but and then we have some other software improvements coming down the line as well. So
yeah, that's going to be next level. I don't want to give too much away. Adam's a tech guy, but that's going to be next level.
We're making it work. We're going to do it. It's going to be cool. And and it comes with a bunch of cool features. Like Shane said, don't want to give too much away, but we'll be having some kind of fun little software rollouts that hopefully will make it a little more enjoyable for y'all.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, Catalina says, I do know someone who works at Netflix. Let's go. No, we don't want Netflix because they turn that into Tiger King. No, check it.
Yeah. They'll focus on all the drama, you know? Try to ignore it and brush it away, and they focus in on it, you know?
There is that reptile one that's coming out here pretty soon. I forget it, right? From Netflix, I think, is doing it. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting.
I think Jay's on one on Hulu or something. I don't know. I don't have Hulu, so I don't know.
I don't have Hulu either. Maybe that's the network that it's at, and it's already out. I don't know.
Yeah. I think Crutchfield was supposed to have one. Yeah, and then Jay from Prehistoric. I don't know if it's two separate shows or they're both
involved. I think it's one, and it's kind of like they were doing the Tiger King, where it's multiple episodes. And I think Jay's in it. Prehistorics may be in it too. But anyhow, Well, thanks, Jay Hendo, for tuning in and catching us on the replay as well. Just to let everybody know, Shane's been putting in a lot of hard work with getting us up on the podcasting, like audio platform. So we're on Apple, iHeart, Spotify.
Pandora, if anyone uses that, it's still it's Pandora. There's something called Deezer. I put it on all the things. So
sweet, man.
Shortly, you know, right after this, I rip the audio, do a little equalization, little studio magic, and then I give it over to the RSS feed, and it'll be out within, you know, a few hours. So,
dude, that's another thing. Coming back, a lot of improvements into those areas, which I kind of find, you know, cool. I know probably not a topic that a lot of y'all care about too much, but like from our point of view, it's quite amazing. Some of the stuff that's out now that will save us time. So thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah. Last week was my first one of doing it right after we finished Alive. And like, I think, I don't know, it was like within 20, 30 minutes I was done and it was over to the servers and just waiting to be uploaded out. Dude, so
that's amazing to me that before we were considering it, Joel and I, but a lot of it was manual. They did have some stuff, but it was extremely expensive, like way more. I know now it's not, you know, the stuff that helped us out costs some money, but it's cheaper a little bit than what it was. So yeah, cool.
Right.
Yep. Yep.
Well, I do that. Well, let me say though, I do that selfishly because I prefer my content in an audio format because I'm always going somewhere, and that's right. A good way to listen to an hour's worth of content while you're driving without YouTube playing commercials. Because man, you get on them podcasts like a YouTube one and hit play, listen to it. Man, you get stuck on some 20-minute long commercials sometimes, you know?
Right? I'm surprised. I'm like, is this a show? There it is again, a show within a show. What the hell?
Showception right there, man. Oh, man. I think RJ coined that term, didn't he? Or was that you in the chat that said that was showception?
Yeah, that was Green Line. And shout out to the homie right here. Got his shirt in. Dude, this thing looks awesome. He's not slacking on the back, as Mutation would say, but I am pinned into my podcasting studio at the, I can't turn around. So, but I love the shirt.
I got a few questions for you while we're live. What are you thinking about the current landscape of the market and just how everything is now that you're kind of like back in all the way and more involved with the community and social media side? What's your takeaways? Like, are we doing anything better? Is anything worse? What do you think?
Well, no, I think I've just seen an overall improvement in the industry in the sense of like, everybody's ability to have a platform, I think, has increased exponentially and with a lot less time requirement than before. If you want to seek that type of engagement, you know, Instagram, all that stuff is all the same. You know, this YouTube stuff exists, Morph Market, you know, like while that platform doesn't have everything for everybody, I think it offers a lot, and especially for the new people coming in, right? It's very one click, boom, I'm set up now, people can find me. I think that that really helps some of the newer breeders, the younger people. Then as far as morphs go and projects, before I left, you know, we were starting to talk about the future of double, triple, quadruple recessives being it. Right. And now that I'm back, it's here. Like, that is it. Right. So that is quite interesting, you know, to talk.
Yeah. Yeah. Like we're deep in it, man. Like it's going,
it's going, you know, and not to say like, so I guess then not a negative, but here's a thing that I think we could improve upon that I see, you know, coming back in is, yes, everybody wants to work on the like triple, quadruple recessives. Let's not forget about all of the incomplete dominant traits. Those truly, and all of the polygenetic traits that ride along all of every trait that we work with, right? But different lines. So it's not just adding a gene to a piece of paper and say, I got this and it's going to this other thing on your list in that spreadsheet. And then you go, I calculate 6 eggs from this and I should get X, Y, Z. And then you just go about it. I think now it's more like people are being more choosy, right? On the examples that they're getting, which I think is good. Right. And then, however, I think people need to also focus on some of the incomplete dominance traits a little bit more. We need to view supers as kind of more like in the recessive trait sense of like a super is very powerful. If it's the right super, right? Because with a super, you get it in everything. So you don't want to paint yourself in the corner, stuff like that. I know. Yeah. Be careful what question you ask me. I might talk for about 10 minutes here. So
no, it's fine. And that's something tying it back into Mark. Mark's had that kind of vision throughout his whole breeding career where, I mean, he's got some genetically complex animals, but the genes he works with complement each other. Like there's a method to the way he's making his combos. It's not just smashing as much as you can and just being like, oh, wow, this is a 6 gene double recessive or something, you know. It's like, no, it looks good too, you know. There's artistry going on behind it.
Yep. And you know, while I paused my reptile breeding program and was focusing on learning how people were breeding dogs, one of the biggest messages that I took away from the dog world, not that I've left the dog world, but I'm saying one of the ones that I've taken to heart with the dog world is purposeful breeding, right? So you know, over there, it's a lot more about conformation. So the structure of the dog, the temperament, things like little things like that, that are, make a very important result at the end of it. And so now when I'm looking at breeding the snakes, I'm like, is this purposeful? It has to have some sort of purpose, either for me, progressing me in a project, right? Or maybe it's temperament in the fact of like, okay, this baby ate like right away and was the strong, like first the shed. Okay, it might not be the stacked gene, right? Like it might not have every one of them, but okay, let's look at it. Confirmation wise, the snake is beautiful. It loves to eat, right? I pick it up. It's not super shy and then wants to kill itself for 3 days. All right, cool. Right. Those are attributes I also think we need to start paying attention to in the hobby a little bit more.
I'll add to that. So while you were away, I did that with my breeding stock. I am 99% frozen thawed over here, but you know, from the original buildup, I still had adults that would only eat live. So I have since sold off all of those. All of my adults eat frozen thawed, and now my success rate is like 100% on starting babies on frozen thawed. There is no live to frozen thawed. I just start them on frozen thawed, and I believe that's because the parents are frozen thawed eaters, and that's something that's kept passed down, you know?
Right. I think we can take stuff like that into play. And, you know, like you, like, okay, your availability for live is a little more difficult. You're on frozen thawed. So I am going to purposefully select those animals that don't mind that. And dude, yeah, those are the little nuances I think, you know, are important. And we discuss,
And that was all fueled by my laziness because I don't want to drive anywhere. My freezer's in the garage and I don't breed rodents. So
I just switched to getting rodents from Dean's Rodents and Reptiles. So shout out to Dean. He's got a really high quality product. But that was kind of the decision of, man, if I kind of go with Dean, I'm going to have to go drive an hour to go get him. Oh, and shout out to the local reptile store here, Charismatic Creatures, Jose, because while I'm injured, he's picking up my rodents for me and he drives an hour up to meet Dean. So I appreciate that. But anyhow, I had to make that decision. Do I kind of go back to live? So I'm keeping part of my animals that had no problem eating frozen thawed on frozen thawed. And then some of my breeding females that I want to be able to control their weight and feeding a little more like close, a little more focused.
excuse me,
I'm putting them on live. So right. That way I could, you know, kind of pound when I want, back off when I want. And then new babies will be reared on live as, or on frozen thawed as well. Like I had been for the last little bit. So.
Yeah. 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 And I agree, man. It's you can only go so far with genetics. I mean, I don't know. It's something that's not really talked about, but if you get a quad or even a penta recessive visual, are those animals even going to be strong eaters and breeders? Like how many genes can we pack into a snake, you know, before it's really not really a snake anymore? You know, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't, you know, it's a good question, right?
How much homozygosity are we getting in the animal besides those genes?
You're using some pretty damn big words right now. I need to hit the Google Fi though.
I know some smart people, man. I'm telling you.
I need to get another host in here. No. But I feel you. I hear your point in the sense of like, right, like, at what point are we causing some genetic depressions by just stacking mutation on each other? I mean, I don't know. I know reptiles are pretty robust in that, and it takes quite a while for a lot of those depressions to manifest themselves physically. Hey, what's up? Irresistible balls, Nikki. But anyhow, so I don't know. I think it's just something that we all need to be aware of, right? Like if you're producing, say, like you're kind of line breeding and then you start having clutches and like those babies hardly are not feeding on their own. You're having to either assist feed most of them or they don't want to take it, you know, different things like that. And it wasn't self-caused. I think a lot of people cutting their eggs too early cause a lot of these babies to kind of start a little slower than they would personally. I mean, I'm not saying you shouldn't cut your eggs. Do what you want. They're your damn eggs, right? But I kind of like
I hear you. I hear you drawing lines in the sand right now. I hear you.
Well, I'm just saying, like, you know, from my limited experience, the clutches that I've kind of not forgotten about, but told myself I'm not gonna be checking you daily. You know, I let a couple of them pip, and then at that point, all right, let's look. And the ones that have pipped on their own, I'll maybe open them up a little bit more, and then I give the other ones like another 24 hours. And if they don't pip, then I cut, right, to make sure nothing's wrong. But other than that, I let them come out on their own, and I think I see better feeding responses quicker. In the sense of like, and then two, I don't feed them right away. I let them go through that shed and I give them about 5 days after the shed and then offer them food. And that whole thing, I think if you're offering food too often, you're pulling them out of the eggs too quick. I don't know. They just don't start right away.
But. Yeah. You know, and since we're doing a little bit of pro tips, I don't know how you do it, but you were talking about letting them come out natural and stuff. And I do the same thing. And I've had good results with the babies feeding better. Like, so they're in their shed tub together, and I'll leave them in there for like a week after they've all shed too. And then I believe there's some like competition going on and stuff. And then I separate them, and they tend to all start off faster that way.
Yeah. I leave them together too, until they all shed. And then normally at least a couple days after that. Right. And then I kind of divvy them out into their tub, give them a day or two on their own. And then I introduce some food. And I agree with you. I think, I don't know what it is. I haven't drawn the correlation if it is competition or if it's just the stimuli, right? Here's something else from the dog world. When they get to be a certain weeks old, you start doing sensory learning with them, where you're actually rotating the dog upside down, to the left, to the right. You're bringing almost just like a human baby, right? You're tickling the feet. You are doing different sensory thing, different noises. You start introducing all of that. And that triggers the nervous system in a lot of different ways, which then the body starts, I think, releasing the proper enzymes, hormones, and signals to the whole system to say, hey, we got to start working. We're in the world now, right? And the body then kicks in. Well, one of the things all animals need is food. And I think then that kicks that also in. So
yeah, there could be something too, leaving them together then, and you know, just the sensory of them doing all their things together instead of being by themselves.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I mean, totally an opinion from an uneducated snake breeder over here, but that's it.
I did use homozygosity in a sentence though, so we're getting somewhere.
It shocked me so bad. I didn't even know how to follow it up, man. Oh, dude. Too funny. Well, you know, tonight we had both discussed there are a lot of different live streams, great live streams going on. We didn't really want to drag this one out a whole ton. So I think we kind of move into talking about our next guest and then maybe a few other things. And then we kind of get wrapping here in a bit. So I'm stoked to announce next week's guest as Rick Flores from CR Serpents. You guys should go check out his Instagram. He has amazing snakes. If you're into, hey, what's up, Mark?
You inspired us, Mark, again.
100%, man. You're always inspiring. So I appreciate that. And yeah, dude. But next week's guest, CR Serpents, you guys check him out. If you're into the puzzle gene or just want to see awesome snakes, look at his Instagram page. Rick's a great guy too, so you shouldn't hesitate to talk to him, reach out to him on Instagram. He's super friendly, loves talking snakes as well. He's got a really good vision for where he wants to take the puzzle project. And I'm bringing him on the show to convince Shane that this is going to be the next puzzle or the next project he's investing in. So, you know, I'm joking. But yeah, anyhow, so what do you think about puzzle, Shane? Do you have any of it or?
No, I do not have puzzle anymore, but I am still it's still like near and dear to my heart. I do like that project a lot, but I just had, G-Stripe Clown is my love of my life, and like that's taken over all my room. So I had to let puzzle go, but puzzle was like, it was like right underneath it on my priority list. So like, I'm still a puzzle fan. I'm rooting, I'm cheering. I still like looking at them. I like watching all the posts when somebody does something new and yeah, man, team puzzle. Yeah. I like it.
Right on. Well, cool. So, it's a project that's kind of dear and near to me. It was one of the very first projects that I spent some money on and decided to go into and start working towards. I agree, right, with Mark on this one here. Puzzle is the heir apparent to the clown in his opinion. And I do agree with that. And also not to say like, I've heard people go, oh, it's the clown killer. Nope. Everything in this market has a place. And I think that puzzle is rising to the occasion, showing people that it has an equal spot next to clown or just as, and there's so much left to explore with it, right? Which I think is a huge draw for people right now. You're able to create some stuff people haven't seen, and that's always exciting. And then myself, I love pattern mutation genes. I'm always drawn to them, so that's why I picked puzzle to begin with.
I think puzzle is definitely its own thing. It has a lot of legs and a lot of room to grow with. So anyone that's working puzzle, I'm rooting for you.
Thanks, buddy. We appreciate the slap on the back.
I think color recessives, if you're going to stack recessives, are the way to go with puzzle. What's your thing on that? Or do you want to save that for next week when Rick's on here?
I mean, we could give the people just a little bit. I do agree with you on that. It'll be interesting to hear what Rick's perspective is on it. So, I mean, my opinion on that is, yes, I think like Hypo and Puzzle are really meant for each other. I think mm-hmm. those two have a lot of room to go, right? Yeah, you have a lot of places to go with that. Desert Ghost is an obvious, you know, I've seen some Xanthic stuff that looks cool. And then you can get into the albinism stuff, like the T pluses with Ultramels and all that. And then the regular,
I would like to see somebody like really produce some killer, like candy puzzle combos and stuff. Cause like candy comes and goes. It's like popular, then it's not. And like, I haven't heard no candy mojo in a while, man. So let's see some candy puzzles, you know?
That's true. You know? Yeah. We'll have to see if, Rick's got a lot of stuff hiding in his racks. I wonder if he's working on candy. I could see him having something secret like that stored away. I don't know. Candy's one of those tricky ones too, because unfortunately being a Lelic to albino, I think kind of hurt it. Right.
Right.
You know what I mean? And for a while it was difficult to know if you were getting a pure candy animal. And you didn't know until you've already invested a bunch of time. And so, but I agree with you. I like the color tone that candy gives. Very, it's kind of similar going into like the rainbow look almost, you know, where you're getting more lavenderish tones and bright oranges.
Ironically, it's more lavender than lavender is. You know, I don't know. Just my opinion. I'm not drawing any lines and say I don't work either one, you know.
but see
it in some Monarch, you know, like let's see some Puzzle do, you know, all those rounds, you know. So
yeah, the Ultramel stuff that we've seen has looked really good. I think Ultramel Sunset puzzles are gonna be pretty damn cool myself. I really do. Right. Yeah, I think the color is where it's at. I think people that try and go too much pattern mutations on top of each other, you know, where I don't know where all that stuff sits actually on the allele, right? I don't know if it's next to each, but you just see a lot when it's pattern on pattern on pattern, it struggles, and then you almost don't get any result, or one of them wins out and you're really only seeing that one, you know what I mean? Kind of like clown.
It's like a null effect. Yeah. Like you get too many patterns, they just kind of like nullify each other. Like you said, something like totally wins out and you don't even see one of the things that you're throwing in there. Yeah. So.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree, Mark. He's going back to that, you know, that toffee.
Yeah. Mark drawing lines in the sand. It's not me tonight. All right. No.
But I do agree with them. Yeah, the candy toffees look better as adult. And that brings up one of the other like kind of cool points we brought up on last show with Mark, and something that I try and put into my belief system when working with the snakes is let's produce stuff that looks awesome as adults, right? Not just right out of the egg. Because I think too, here's another point. To kind of add on to that question you asked me earlier about what's something that I've noticed in the hobby that wasn't there before, is I think before there was a real big push to create animals to sell to other breeders. And I think now people are starting to recognize that the real market is making snakes for the pet owners, right? Like they incorporate a larger percentage of the purchasers out there and stuff like that. And so let's make some awesome looking adults that are in that affordable kind of range for people. And I think overall we'll be better for it, because the more people that see those animals and go, oh, wow, I didn't realize that's how they look as adults. That's super cool. Are going to want one. So,
I agree. And, plus, I mean, we could go way down this rabbit hole, but I'll just say, like, if we're not creating beautiful animals for pet buyers, that then we're actually like stifling ourselves, because those pet buyers are the ones that can turn into future breeders, and you know, and then they feed in and grow our community. So that's how it all works.
Yeah, yeah, 100%. And two, like I love kind of the push also that not everybody has to be a breeder. You don't have to be breeding to participate in this community. If you just love looking at the snakes, you want to learn how to care for them, all of that you can do, and it's promoted now. And I like that. I respect that. I think it's kind of the secret to all of this, right? Is
right.
Yeah. Is that like, you don't have to breed these animals unless you want to. And then there's information and people out here that are willing to help. And
Marcus Jane's website, ballpython.ca. I've been giving that link out for years, long before I was friends with Mark. Somebody would say, like, how do you breed ball python? Start here, read this, and then go to YouTube and see the little variations YouTube. On this. It's all based on this, you know?
yep. What's up?
Peter Snakes. Man.
Hey, man. Thank you.
Hey, Peter, Lorga, whatever you want to go by. But Peter, good job on Proper Royals, brother. I watched it.
Oh, right on. He was a guest over there. That's cool.
Yeah, yeah. He's a Portuguese guy that lives in Russia. So it was like,
oh man, you know. Wild. Yeah. That's pretty cool. Yeah. International perspective. Yeah, dude. Yeah. I like that.
Yeah.
And so, like Mark was saying here, this is a good one. Just last point, and then we can kind of go into wrapping it up. But you know, pet buyers have to have the potential of owning a lot more snakes than dogs and cat owners. And I completely agree, right? Your average dog cat owner, maybe going to have a pair of them at most. And then your average snake owner, once they get comfortable with keeping reptiles, it's like, how many do you have? Well, right now it's like a dozen. And that's like, right. You know, they in their mind, they're striving for more. So, yeah.
It's fun because I'm slowly converting my coworkers, and like they get their one, and then like I see it happening, and it's like, oh wow, I like this species too, and then they get another whatever, you know, and oh wow, right. You know, kind of like a Noah's Ark thing, but I see it progressing, you know, and it's kind of cool to watch it from its infancy and watch their enjoyment, you know, as they go.
Dude, for sure, man. All right. You got anything else that you, any other hot topics you've been?
No, man. No, not really. Nothing hot. Okay. It's been kind of a slow week here for me on okay. All, I mean, breeding's going good, and I'm waiting on a whole bunch of, hog noses to lay eggs. So there's that going on. So I'm actually got them paired up tonight, and, ball pythons are locking and loading, and seasons. All right,
what's your best ball python lock of the week so far, like the project you're the most excited, not best, but you know what I mean?
Well, it's my near and dear. It's a hurricane, red stripe, yellow belly, triple het, DG, G stripe clown to just a double het, that, but G stripe clown. So I'm hoping to get those hurricane G stripe clowns in whatever form. If it has red stripe, cool, or yellow belly, cool, but I just need the hurricane version. I did hatch a hurricane red stripe clown that's 66% het G stripe. So I'm like, I'm getting there incrementally, okay. You know?
Yeah.
I've hatched like 20 something eggs going double het to double het. Basically like one of them's a triple, but I'm not going to see the triple, but I've so far no double visual yet, you know?
Oh, okay. Okay. I got a couple double het to double het pairings this going on, and I'm kind of like, okay, am I going to hit it? So and you've got 20 eggs so far at that project, and you haven't seen the double visual? Okay.
Right. And for me, just a little backstory, like when I first started watching Reptiles Unplugged, like G-Stripe Clown was like my jam. And I started that from clowns and genetic stripes and started building
double. Okay, so you made your double hats.
And like now, like it's all starting to come to fruition this year, and next year is really the year. Like there's a lot more stuff that'll be adult next year. But so like, it's basically the ground up. I never bought like double visuals or none of that. I've just done it from the clown and the G stripe angle. So
I like that. That's pretty cool. I like
that. Yeah, little elbow grease in there and just like, yeah. I could do this, you know?
Right, right. And there's something to be said, I think, because once you do hit it, that feeling is going to be like no other, right? I mean,
Yeah.
And that's right.
I was just going to throw in like hitting the red stripe hurricane clown, knowing that it's 66% het G stripe and 50% het DG. I'm like, dude, if that thing tests out and it's a male, like he's going to be the all-star breeder next year, you know, dude. Like, whoa, that's like a big giant leap forward in that project, you know, for me. So
it's on then. Hell yeah, bro.
Yeah. And good thing for shed testing, because now I don't like grow it up and just breed it out. It's like, man, I could shed test it and like, it's a beautiful clown either way. So
peace out, Mark. Thanks for stopping by, man.
Later, Mark. So yeah man, I would like to just like imbue that to the anyone that's listening to, you don't always have to buy like the doubles and like you could start it kind of from the ground up and do it. Like I'm on year number 6 and I'm still doing it. And then my first year I paired for my first set of double heads and I've been breeding those females. So
yeah. Dude, great advice there. And you're right. You know what I mean? And like everybody right now, I think is getting focused on, oh, well, it's gotta be XYZ because I heard this one podcast.
Yep. And so Adam was talking about like,
did I fail out?
Yeah. I think you were talking about like following trends and chasing projects. So I was going to ad lib for you.
Oh, right. Thanks, brother. Good fill in on that. Yeah. I saw the little spinny thing all of a sudden. I'm like, oh, crap. But I was just saying like, hey, don't get caught up on just because you heard some guy on a podcast say this is the only way to do it, or this is the way they did it. You could think of it from other perspectives, right? Like, if you want to go the double hat, make your own, go for it. Then like, that's the fun thing about this, right? Just have a plan, have a purpose. Don't just throw stuff at the wall to see what sticks. That's not really a recipe for success. You're going to end up frustrated, disappointed down the line. Right. So,
yeah. Especially if you're working multi-recessive and you're just throwing it at the wall, like, man, that could be years just to like, get like, oh man, this is garbage. Exactly.
10 years down the drain. No, I'm joking. But yeah, well, cool, man. I wish you the best of luck on those projects. So,
thank you.
Yeah. Well, all right. I don't want to keep everybody. Like we said at the beginning, there's quite a few podcasts going out there tonight. So we're going to kind of wrap up ours. Go pick your favorite one to support. I'm going to go head over to the Fat Man Nation and check out Chris. Check in and see on his show. So thank you guys.
That's the show within a show. So it's Hurt Collectors on the Fat Man. So I mean,
that's true.
You're supporting two different networks there, all in one show.
Showception, baby. Showception.
Yeah. That's a tongue twister.
I know. I could barely say it correctly. Well, thanks again, everybody. I appreciate your time tonight. And we'll see you next week, Thursday, 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern, with Shane and Adam on Reptiles Unplugged. Ow!